Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Yes, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And don't worry about it, Sean, from the 832. Does Reggie even know how to hold his tongue? No, I do not.
Awful teammate right now.
Don't worry. Yeah. I enjoyed it, and I feel like a lot of people enjoyed it. And if they didn't, it's cool because it's a Friday, baby. It's a Friday headed into what should be a really fun week of all sorts of sports as relates to Houston. Luke Morrow in for the OG John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula Figgy Fig. Get involved with the program by texting in to the show, 713-572-4610, or catch us on the Mokarem Injury Lawyers live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. How you living, brother?
Doing well. Good to be here. As you said, I mean, it's an exciting weekend to be to get ready for in the sports world. Always love hanging out with you on a Friday and talking, especially tonight, about the Rockets, Warriors.
Yes.
Last time I was with you, we were talking about the start of the series, and now today, let's hope we can talk about continuing the series.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's jump right in immediately. Tonight, we have basketball, 8 p.m., Central Time, Central Time, and it'll be on ESPN, and we will see if the Rockets can continue to stave off elimination in this series. And you mentioned it 2 weeks ago. Just 2 weeks ago, we were asking the questions headed into Game 1 mm-hmm. of the series. Now let's ask some questions heading into Game 6. Like, what can they apply from Game 5 going into tonight? What are some of the other things that you're interested in, that you're curious about in this Game 6 in this series?
Yeah, when I look back at that game the other night, I don't take much from the offensive side because it was just, I don't want to say the word flukish, but it was just such an anomaly and such a great performance from the Rockets that I don't anticipate that carrying over to the next game, which of course is tonight, let alone now carrying over on the road after playing so well at home. I almost compare it to, you know, Jalen Green's big game in the series where he made a career-high 8 threes. And it's like, well, that's kind of the outlier. We've seen the Rockets play all year. If they had this offense all season that we saw the other night, you'd put them right up there with OKC as the, you know, the team to beat in the West.
For sure.
But we know what this team is. They're not going to shoot 70%, you know, from the floor. So offensively, I really don't take much. But I do look at the defensive side of things because the Athletic put together a really good piece of breaking down the Rockets' defensive performance in that game five mm-hmm. and showing like how prepared, how ready they were, so it seemed, for what the Warriors were trying to do in that game. And they did such a good job on Curry and Jimmy Butler in that game that you hope that that's something they could take with them. That maybe as the longer this series goes, they start to figure out some things. And I know on The Athletic they compared it to like almost like a software update where it takes in all this information and adapts over time.
Right.
And you hope that's the Rockets' defense the longer this series goes. And I would also, you know, the advantage for the defense in this series, of course, would lean towards the Rockets. So I guess that's the case, is that that's my hope. That's what they carry with them. I don't take anything from the offensive side, but maybe defensively, maybe they've start to crack the code a little bit. And when you go back and you look, I won't bog you down with all the examples, but when you look back at all the 3-1 deficits that teams have overcome in the NBA playoffs, maybe it's a chicken and the egg discussion, but you always see the teams that jumped out to the 3-1 lead scored a bunch of points early in the series, and then when the other team erased that deficit, it's because they were playing much better defense, holding the team to fewer points. The Rockets did it in 95 to the Suns. And I think that's just a sense of you get to figure out your opponent over a series, you make the right chess moves, and you start getting some wins.
Yeah, and that was going to be, if this Rockets team was going to win this series, it's going to be on the strength of their defense. Hell, if the Rockets are going to win any series, the way that they're constructed right now, it is a defense-forward team. This team, mm-hmm. absolutely, when you talk about their strength, Ime Udoka, when you want the identity of this team to be defensive. So I think you're right in that regard. And I think you're kind of highlighting one of the things that was big about Game 5, but in a way almost on the opposite side, which is that the Warriors kind of got uncharacteristic offensively. Like, one of the things that they were trying to do is they were doing a lot of hunting of Alperen Sengun, trying to get some cross matches, some mismatches on with him on the floor, and he held up pretty well. I'm interested to see, like, if the Warriors do the thing where they go back to some of the answers that they had found early. Because there's this thing that happens in playoff series at times that really boggles the mind for me, where, and I understand, like, series are fluid, things change with, you know, your opponents, so that does affect the way that you have to play. But it felt like the Warriors in Game 5 moved away from some of the answers that they had previously offensively. And I wonder if the confines of being at home, if having, you know, more threats when we talk about playing at home and your role players playing better, mm-hmm. if Pajemski maybe being more threatening because he's at home, if Moses Moody being more threatening off ball because he's at home, if those guys get going, does that then, you know, make it more difficult on the Rockets, a Rockets team that clearly has put so much of their effort towards Steph Curry, as you have to do, a decent amount of effort towards Jimmy Butler. And they've left some of those others saying, if they are going to beat us, then so be it. What happens if you get that where, you know, Brandon Pajemski steps up and he's knocking down shots again? And does that shift the way this goes? Especially because, as you stated, you cannot expect that you're going to have that same type of offensive night that the Rockets did have in Game 5.
Yeah, and that's always the fun thing about these series is it is that chess match, you know? And so then you make an adjustment, the other team has to make an adjustment, and then now for the Rockets tonight, they have to try to stay ahead of that and try to make their own adjustment or react to whatever they anticipate from the Warriors. And that's something to take it to another sport, in football, they always tell you, like, from a gambling perspective, always bet the team in the rematch that lost the previous game. And actually, we see this a lot in the NBA, too, with the zigzag theory of you just alternate wins. One mm-hmm. team wins, and they lose the next game. But the idea is the advantage is always to the team that lost because they're the one that makes the adjustments. The team that won figures, we could just do this. We just beat them by 15, and it wasn't even as close as that final score would indicate. Like, we could just go do the same thing. And the team that loses figures, well, we got to change something up. So then as you get ready for tonight's game, to your point, you wonder about the Warriors either going back to what they did a little bit earlier in the series or throwing out some other curveballs to shake off that terrible taste from Game 5 and then having to wonder, can the Rockets handle whatever Golden State throws at them? Another aspect, too, to me is, and this is like a kind of like a loser attitude. I almost like hate myself for even saying it. But
okay.
The fear that the Warriors kind of handled it almost like the whole gentleman sweep thing.
Yeah.
Veterans, 3-1 lead. They're heading back home for Game 6. Obviously, Kerr pulled his starters, you know, midway through the third quarter. You never want to say in the NBA, especially an elimination game, like, oh, the Warriors, they didn't care about that game. But I do wonder if the intensity, obviously, I think, at home, the intensity will be different. But just if you see a different version of the Warriors where they got a little comfortable the other night and now they're a little more locked in at home today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Night. No, I think it's a fair point to make. I understand where you're coming from there with the disclaimer. I think that is fair.
Yeah.
But like you'll hear kind of NBA folks talking about the idea that that was something that they anticipated for game five. Now, of course, it's convenient to say that afterwards, you know, maybe that. And it also feels a little disrespectful to the Rockets to be like, yeah, we expected them to the Warriors to come out and not really play that hard in Houston. Mm-hmm. But one thing that you could say, if you had that perspective, that would be some level of support for that perspective. The Warriors were real lackadaisical with the basketball. And I know I don't want to put all of those like five Amen Thompson steals as just the Warriors being lackadaisical. No, he went and took some of those. He picked some pockets. He took some cookies in that way. And I guess that brought me to the idea of how much of that portion of it, especially when it comes to Steph Curry and the ways that they were able to fluster him, do you anticipate carrying over? Particularly because like that transition offense, like being able to steal the ball and go get some pick six type scores like Amen Thompson did in particular, those also add into the offense, and that's especially valuable for a half court, you know, a team that's so deficient in half court scoring in the Rockets. Like, do you foresee that also carrying along? Because that does still fit in with the defense that you're talking about and the ways in which, you know, Amen Thompson has bloomed as this series has gone through.
That he's the one guy I was going to highlight earlier. That's the one thing I do take from the offensive side of Game 5, that he's played a lot better these last two games. He's gotten better each of the last three. But I also think, I mean, anyone that's played basketball, you know, like when you make a great play on defense, it revitalizes you on the offensive end too.
Yeah.
You just feel good. You have a confidence about you. So when he's making those plays on defense, I don't think it's a coincidence that he went off and had such a good game on the offensive end too, that they just play off of one another, especially confidence-wise. So you hope to see a similar performance from him tonight on both ends of the floor, of course, and they're going to need it. But that's really the only thing I take from the offensive side is what he did, and it was great to see him in with the performance the last two games. I've seen some people also point to, like, fatigue for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Talk about the whole travel schedule. But, you know, that, of course, favors the Rockets, and that could continue on now in Game 6 of the series. So that's another reason I've seen people use that as an excuse. But I would almost think that that's more reason to be optimistic for the Rockets, even though the Warriors starters got to sit a lot to try to refresh those legs. Still, it's a flight. It's one day off. The Rockets would certainly benefit from any fatigue the longer this series goes.
Right. And also, you know, they're also dealing with their star player having this very noticeable injury that became a subplot of Game 5, as people claim that, you know, that Dylan Brooks was out here and intentionally trying to further harm him or aggravate that injury, which Dylan Brooks did not do very much to dissuade. In fact, he kind of just copped to it, like, hey, y'all keep talking about what y'all talking about. That's fine. So, I do think that is a continued portion of this, is like what Warriors team or how much do they have in the tank as the series continues on, as the Rockets' physicality, they've been aggressors in this. And actually, that ties in nicely. I know Matt Young of the Houston Chronicle was kind of throwing up some things that the Rockets need to do in order to survive through Game 6 and give a Game 7 in Sunday. It's kind of funny to think we're going to go into this weekend not knowing if the Rockets will be done in 6, be done in 7, or if they have a whole new life by the next time we get on air.
Yeah.
But some of the things he talked about was pester Steph Curry, which is, I mean, that's just been foundational and fundamental to this series. He also talked about the double bigs and continuing to see that, and we've talked at length about that. It feels like one of the things I've been impressed by is that they've been able to use it, and to the extent that they've been able to use it, keeping their cool is going to be an interesting one because it's going to be absolutely necessary. I feel like Draymond Green is going to be as empowered as ever. Like, if he did not get, he's not received the level of punishment that it feels like he should have. And Game 4 on this same court that they're going to be playing tonight was where he had gotten the maximum egregious and still didn't get thrown out. I do wonder if he's going to be emboldened to do all of those shenanigans again. And if, you know, if an elimination type circumstance would put the Rockets on the edge and how they will handle that circumstance.
I think it's a safe bet. And I like all three of those points. I agree with them. I think the last one that you were just talking about is the biggest one, because that's been the test for this team. I mean, the Warriors obviously are so much more experienced. And I heard them talking about it, you know, Seth and Sean earlier, about when you watch this series. I mean, the Rockets really have looked like the better team. The difference is just that experience. The Rockets have outscored the Warriors.
Yeah, I was like, they're plus five, isn't it? On the, or is it 15 or something to that over the entirety of the series, even though they're down 3-2?
Because a stat I've heard you reference in the series was those clutch minutes. Like, they outplay them for the majority of the game, but then at the end of the game, they just can't execute well enough to pull out these close wins. So now you really ramp that up tonight where it's in their building. Elimination game is a little different playing at home the other night to playing on the road. That's why I'd asked also earlier this. I was thinking about, you know, does that game the other night change the pressure for the Rockets heading into this one? Because now you go back on the road, you feel good coming off that win the other night. But yeah, absolutely. That's the big thing for me is how do these young guys handle this moment? You mentioned it earlier. Role players always play better at home. That's the big difference between stars and role players. And the Rockets, I'm not going to call them a team of role players, but we know they don't have that go-to guy that can carry them. And so tonight, you know, you're going to have to get some big performances from these guys, and we're going to have to find out if they're capable of doing that in really the biggest game of their careers.
Yeah, that's a great point. We can dig more into that. The one thing I want to ask you real quick before we go here on this segment, getting going on a Thursday, when it comes to Jalen Green, he's been such an interesting bellwether of how things go, or I mean, at least he's been up and down in his performance. And I think that you could probably call game five a generally good performance. I know the statistically it does not look great, but I think that he played a much better brand of basketball. And he also took a knock at one point, right, with his knee. I think he actually knocked knees on a drive, and that caused him to sit down. Just, I guess, quickly, do you anticipate good Jalen or bad Jalen in a way to oversimplify the analysis of what game six looks like for him?
I would lean more towards bad. And I guess just based off of what we've seen in the series, you know, that's the safer bet, at least in terms of the output for points. I don't expect a huge night from him. I do think Amen Thompson will have a good night. You know, Alpi's been great all series. But no, unfortunately, I'm out. I was already out on Jalen Green, and now this series has just really confirmed it for me, which is why I think, you know, clarity sometimes can always be the best thing. And that's something I think a positive you could still take from this series, even if the Rockets lose tonight, is I think you have the answer. At least I believe I have the answer on Jalen Green, and it's that I can't count on him in these moments.
Man, excited for game six of this series. The Rockets continue to try and stave off elimination and push this thing to a game seven as we're just getting going. It's going to be a fun weekend in Houston sports, and we're considering all of it right here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, at the risk of doing the thing that we did last year, the five-headed monster thing, is it possible that the Texans now have the best wide receiver trio in the AFC? 713-572-4610. Let's consider that next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.